Bible line, hear God's word on Bible line, hear God's truth on Bible line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's first part of this two-part message will be a blessing to you and your family.
Well, this will be number three concerning the use of the King James, why I believe it's the translation that we should use. And I want to give you some reasons why I don't use all the others. And give you a little bit of the reasoning behind it. I am not an expert on languages and Hebrew and Greek. That's Bob's job. That's what he does. But I have to have a reason that's clear enough in my own mind. So I can't tell you everything. I can only tell you just a few of the highlights of some of my reasoning. Because I do believe that there is a movement on to corrupt the Word of God. And it's important to know what the Word of God says and the importance of defending the Word and defending the gospel. And so I wanted to give you a few words on that. Take your Bible and just look with me very quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. He makes a statement here in verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, that ye might, well, bear with him." He was afraid that you might listen to him. And I believe it's the same thing when we have that fear that there will be people, some of God's children, people that you've led to the Lord or challenged to serve the Lord, begin to listen to other versions. And sometimes you think, you know, that version may not be, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's just a few words. Just a few things were changed. But understanding how the devil works, he doesn't do it all at one time. It's here a little, there a little. And you accept that. And then a little bit more. Do you think we have seen the end of all Bible versions? There should not be any more. For whatever's been said has already been said, so there can't be any more, right? It warms you up so that you are always looking for something new and better, easy to understand, one that's not as convicting or maybe doesn't make you feel so uncomfortable. One that you can accept, and pretty soon you'll have one just right. It won't be no hell in it, nothing about the blood. There won't be anything in it that will upset you. Maybe we could just take sin out of the Bible too, and you'd be surprised how it happens. Little by little. So why does Calvary Community Church use the King James Bible? This is number three. Calvary believed the King James Bible is an accurate translation from the preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts. And we've mentioned this before, but we will get into a little bit more of that tonight. You needed to get a good look at the theology. You know, the goals and purposes of these men before we examine the doctrine that is affected by the changes in the modern Bible versions. So if you understand where they're coming from, you'll know why they're doing what they're doing. And so it's important to know the certain men that have been instrumental in giving us a corrupt version. Now, there's liberal theologians, and they will give us a false view of God's Word. They want to present a portion of Scripture that contradicts the truth of what God's Word has to say. When you accept a little leaven, remember, just a little, the next translation will give you a little more leaven. And you don't think, well, just a little bit is not going to hurt. Just a little changes, you know, it's not going to be that bad. But small, subtle changes are not that bad, are they? Well, little by little, remember that. And so you don't just come in and change the whole Word of God, because nobody would accept that. But they're just making it easier to understand. And to do that, then they just make it flow and do it by thought. Well, we got the thought down. And so that sounds good. Now, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, where we just read, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted." So you see, Satan wants to corrupt our minds. And one way he can do that is to corrupt the Word of God. If he can corrupt the Word of God, now how can you corrupt the Word of God? But see, Jesus said when he came into this world, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So if you corrupt truth, then you must have error. See how easy that is, understand? So when you're going to corrupt a person's mind, then you corrupt the truth that they're supposed to believe. Then they do not believe truth, they believe error. But they don't know that it's error, because somebody has done it very subtly without anybody being aware that it's happening. And so this is important to remember. Thus have you have the, you know, the commandment. Thus have you made the commandment of God of, and here's two words. It's in the Bible, and Jesus said it. None effect by your tradition. Can you corrupt the Word of God? You can corrupt it. And you can replace the Word of God by tradition. Every person sitting in this room can become your own translator. You interpret it yourself. And you'll come up with whatever meaning you want it to. And many times your theology is going to be dictated by your morality, how you want to live. And so you can pick certain verses out of the Bible to prove your own way of thinking, and you feel comfortable with it. And that's why when you read the Scriptures, your certain parts that you may not, well, I don't agree with that. Well, this is all right, but I don't believe that. And that's why you will not let the Word of God have its full impact in your life, because you pick and choose and you determine what is and what is not the Word of God based upon how you want to live. And so, believe it or not, Christians can get to the place where they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It just contains the Word of God, and I can determine what it is and what it is not. So you can become your own interpreter, translate it for yourself. And how many translators would we have if every man just believed whatever you want to believe about the Bible? And there's a lot of people that do just that. He says also in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And he says when you do that, you make the Word of God of none, it doesn't have the effect. Truth is powerful. That's why the only thing that I have that I can offer to the people at this church is truth. If I offered you nothing but lies, I don't think many of you would want to be a part of this ministry. But somewhere along the line, you believe that what I'm teaching is from the Bible. And that's why people say, well, I just want somebody who'll preach the Word, teach the Bible. Tell me exactly what it says. And you can look and follow along and decide whether or not, is that really in there? Is that really what it says? And so you want people to believe the truth. Now, in Mark chapter 7 and verse 13, it says, "Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition." Causing the Word of God not to have effect. If the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Well, if you believe that, then you're supposed to, if you believe, you're supposed to be saved. But if you add to the Word of God something, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt be saved. Now, it's all in there, but I just added something to it. But what I added causes it not to have its effect, because that isn't the truth. I changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, is that wrong? If I give people the impression that what I said, God said, but it's not the truth, I'm deceiving. This is why every child of God should study the Word of God. But remember, he says, these things have I written unto you that keep the Ten Commandments and obey the golden rule. Now, did I add anything to it? Now, if you don't know that verse, you won't know I added anything to it. But what I added annuls the verse and the power of the verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope that you have eternal life. One little word like hope changes the meaning of the verse. It says you can know you have eternal life. Did you know that there has been times when I have actually led people to the Lord and never quoted a verse? Now, you can't be saved without believing the Word. It's the Word of God. You've got to believe the Word. And I have led many people to Christ and never quoted a scripture. Have you ever done that? You mean, can you lead somebody to the Lord without quoting the scripture? See, I have led people to the Lord because I told them the truth that was in that scripture. When I tell them that all that you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ. Now, I cannot find a verse that says that word for word exactly like I said it. But the truth has to be told. And you and I are supposed to teach the truth. And I'll show you more about that in just a minute. So, it is also wrong to verbally change the meaning of God's word that it has no effect. So it's okay to tell people what God said if you don't even tell it in exactly the same word. And if they don't read the heaven track and you don't even have a Bible, but you told them that God so loved them. Does God love them? But you didn't quote a verse. Haven't I explained the gospel many times at the end of a church service and never quote a verse, but I told them all seven steps. But I didn't quote a verse. But I told them the truth that is in every one of those points that we explain. Because there's power in truth. And so the devil wants to corrupt truth. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, Christ is become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So when you believe, you are saved by grace, but kept saved by the law, or that you stay saved by serving God, then you have placed yourself back under the law that Christ died to redeem you from. So, would that be truth or an error? That's an error. You see, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and become not entangled again with the yoke of... Don't put yourself back under the law that Christ delivered you from. And there's people that do just that. And so, no effect. Christ will become of no effect. It's like you're not dependent on the Lord. When you add works to it, just a little bit, 11, I'm sorry, grace cannot tolerate any leaven of works for salvation. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, this is where you have, when people begin to question what God says, a modernist. He's the liberal. And this is where it comes from. Little thoughts that cause you to question the sincerity of the truth of God. Saying what he said, but with a little twist to it. That's what the devil does. And he does it to your mind. Now, Satan founded the that's not what he meant society. You know, as he talked to Eve, that's not what he meant. God said, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, thou shalt not surely die. Is that a doubt upon what God said? Is that a question upon what God's word says? You see, Bible corruption begins with him. Satan is the original Bible reviser. He's a revisionist. He wants to add to, subtract from, dilute the word of God and substitute his own doctrine. Because if Satan has his own ministers, he has to have his own message. And his own message cannot be the truth of the word of God. Satan is a liar. So he's not going to preach the truth. So if you know that and understand it, you'll know that God is not the author of confusion. So God does not do that to us. He gave us his pure word. He wants us to believe it and to teach it. So we are not supposed to corrupt people's mind by telling them lies. Now, I have to, because I am the preacher, and I'm not that brilliant. I don't know everything, and I have a sinful body with a sinful nature, and therefore my mind is not totally 100% perfect. Is it possible that I could say something that I shouldn't say? I can do that. But if I know it, I want to correct it, because I know that I have to give account to the Lord for every word. And that's why I've been a teacher of the Word of God. There's greater judgment, according to James chapter 3. So God is not the author of confusion. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark and chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark and chapter 16. Now, if you have an old Scofield reference Bible, this will make it a little easier to verify. But in the middle of this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 16, verse 9 through the end of that chapter, you'll notice if you have an old Scofield, down at the bottom of that page, right in the middle, it says, under number 1, written in there is a footnote, the passage from verse 9 to the end is not found in two most ancient manuscripts, the Sinaitic and the Vaticanus. And others have it with partial omissions and variations. But it is quoted by Irenaeus and Hippopolis, Hippolytus in the second or third century. So they say these verses are not in these two manuscripts. And they just, well, wait a minute. When I saw that years ago, I thought, you mean that's not supposed to be in there? So this is actually part of the scripture, so I don't have to believe none of this. And yet right in the middle of all these verses, look what it says in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what's wrong with that? Isn't these scriptures also talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't those verses be in there? Now, I will give you just a little bit. Most modern versions, I have a footnote to the effect that these verses are not in the oldest and the best and the most reliable Greek manuscripts. You ever heard that? I'll bet you Bob has. He's taught all this stuff. Hath God said? Now, if it's only in the oldest and the best and the most reliable Greek manuscripts, guess which ones qualify? Guess which manuscripts are considered the oldest and the best and the most reliable Greek manuscripts? You'll never guess what it is. Not in a million years, you wouldn't guess. It just happens to be those corrupt manuscripts. They're the oldest. Oh, they're the best. But they're not the best. They are a corrupt manuscript. So we have over 1,800 Greek manuscripts today that contain Mark 16. The only two that do not recognize this or have the last 12 verses are the two that they mention, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. 99% of all them manuscripts do. Now, as of 1967, there were 5,255 ancient manuscripts available. Now, there's pieces of all kinds of stuff, different translations and so on. But 5,210 go along with the Textus Receptus that underlines the King James Bible. That's over 99% of the evidence. These are sometimes referred to as the majority text because, you see, the others is only about 45 texts that they've even got. But that overrides all of this other evidence. Now, these are quoted from many on the majority text. All these people from all these centuries before we ever had Westcott and Hort come along and, man, finally deliver us and told us finally the truth that all these, that this is all corrupted and it's no good, and they finally got it all straightened out. No, I don't believe that. See, Satan promises to give people a special insight of knowledge that others don't have. This is why you have the Gnostics. They want to delve into the spiritual realm where people don't know what they know. And the Bible is not sufficient. And so there's angels behind the scenes that will give you special insights into other things. Well, the book of Colossians kind of deals with some of that stuff. And it just puffs up the mind. But it reveals no truth. But it corrupts the truth. And so in John chapter 17 in verse 7, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To change the truth into a lie is to make the truth of no effect. Truth is very important. Our whole life is based upon truth. Truth is the real world. If you don't know truth, you believe a lie. And many people never know the truth. 18 years of my life, I lived a lie. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I came from. I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know where I was going. I was as lost as a hound dog in the end of a soup bone. And a man brought me the truth. And I sat there and I listened to him, and I finally understood. All I had to do was trust Christ as my Savior. And that night I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I know I have eternal life, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So the rest of my life, I can either keep believing truth or get away from the Bible and believe a lie. And then you'll live a lie because you'll believe it. And you will do whatever you think is right and best for yourself. And you'll remember, Satan wants to keep you from this book. There's a good statement one of the missionaries made the other day, but my father-in-law told me this about 57 years ago. And it's in the flyleaf of his Bible. This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. You want to believe the Bible? It's the truth. So when you read and study and memorize Scripture, you're studying truth. Satan wants to get you away from it. And that's where the battle begins, with the Word of God. So, for God doth know, and this is what he told, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. Remember he said that to her? Did you know he actually told some truth? Because right after this, he made another statement. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then look what God said. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. So Satan told some truth. But God never intended man to know sin. God never intended man to think sin. God never intended man to commit sin. God never wanted man to know the consequences of sin. God wanted to keep us from that. All that evil because of sin. So, yes, now man knows right from wrong. Before, he would have just known right. Now he knows that he's wrong. That's why he knows he's guilty, because he's violated. That's why we run from God, because of sin, the guilt. That's what causes so much of the mental problems that people have. Sin, S-I-N, it takes its toll. So God never meant for us to know evil, the consequences of sin, which we was talking about this morning regarding repentance. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because God doesn't want you to do that. Remember what he said about Lot? He says, by seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul from day unto day. By seeing and hearing, he vexed his, like putting a curse upon himself. So he didn't live right, didn't do right, didn't protect his family right. A lot of things you don't do right when you're listening and hearing the wrong things. Ephesians 5:12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. See, there's things God doesn't want people to talk about. If you listen to the news today and all the talk shows, they talk about everything. They bring out all the dirt. It's all built on gossip. True? You know I'm telling you the truth. I mean, because we're talking about truth and a lie, right? So it is a shame. We shall be as gods. Well, independent of the true will of God in the spirit of rebellion. You shall be as God. In other words, you want to be your own God. This is not what God intended. But this is how Satan has corrupted what he said. And then people believed it. And look what the results are. They're putting themselves in God's place and becoming judges on God by judging God's words. Hath God said. Is Satan the inventor, the originator of the... He didn't really mean that, society. You see, that he didn't really mean that. I mean, there really is no hell. I mean, there is no such place. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to witness. God's already determined who's going to heaven. You ever heard something like that? That didn't come from the Bible. That comes from the devil. Because it's a devilish teaching. It's not the truth. God doesn't love everybody. Yes, he does. When Christ died, he paid for the sins of the whole world. Are there preachers today that are teaching God didn't really send his son to pay for all the sins of all the world? And it's a lie. He did come to pay for all the sins of everybody. So in Ezekiel in chapter 11 in verse 5, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel. Get this. This is very important. For I know the things that come into your mind. Every one of them. Does God want us to have wrong thoughts? This is why he never wanted them to eat that fruit off of that tree. Because that was the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. That they could eat it and they'll know something they would have never had to know. They didn't know sin before and they did not know the consequences of sin. And now they know all of that and now they're rebellious and now they want to play God. And they don't need God. Did Satan do a good number on everybody? All he had to do was corrupt the Word of God.
This is your invitation to join us for our third Sunday dinner held in the Florida Bible College of Tampa building on the Calvary Community Church campus. The dinner is a family-style covered dish dinner and a great way to showcase your favorite dish and pick up new recipes. Each month, you have the opportunity to invite your family and friends to join us for our Sunday morning service at 10:30 and then stay for our third Sunday dinner immediately following at noon. Third Sundays at Calvary Community Church, where you'll be fed spiritually and physically.
Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.